It's good stuff right there. Well, you know, if you're new today, you've picked an amazing day to come the first time to Crossroads. Yes, you did. So glad you're here today. We've been in the midst of this journey over the last 5 weeks, a multi-pronged thing to take a look at our obsession. What is our obsession? Some of us are concluding that, you know, our obsession is God. Our obsession is being in on his ways, being a part of the capital C church, people who align themselves with Jesus, and the local small C church, one of those local small C churches being Crossroads. And many of us today are going to fill these cards out that we have. We're not going to do anything with these while. We're going to fill these out today. And if you're new today, man, I know this could be a bit overwhelming for you, but you're going to at least get to see some of the stuff that we're made of around here. And I think maybe connect with God today. I'm really excited today. And you should be too. I think you'll find out why in a moment. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful that you're a God that invites us to things that aren't normal. You're a God that gives us a path that isn't well-traveled. You're a God that does not believe in monotony. You give us things that stretch us to help us and to enable us to be more like you. And so help me to be clear today. Help me to be helpful. And God, I just want your truths, your transcendent truth, to just sink into the minds and hearts of your people today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. How many of us are willing to admit that we have baggage? Who's got baggage? Anybody got baggage in here? I got baggage. Let me tell you some of my baggage. First, I am incredibly sensitive to criticism. I don't know if it's because I had a very critical group of friends growing up. People were always critical. I don't know if it was because I went to, I spent time with a bunch of followers of Christ. I was in a seminary that was incredibly judgmental, incredibly critical. And so therefore, I'm expecting people to constantly judge and criticize me. Maybe that's my baggage, because when I open up an email, I assume like every email is gonna rip me a new one. I do. I open up and I'm like, okay, is this a good one? Okay. And I get very few negative ones, very, very few, relatively speaking. But my baggage is like, oh no, it's going to be a bad one, right? I got baggage over terms. One of the terms I'm going to spend time on today is a term called consecrate. Consecrate. Now, I have baggage over this term. Some of you might as well. This is a term that is very popular in some religious circles, maybe especially in Catholic circles. And I've never been a Catholic, but I felt I was a Catholic growing up because I grew up in Pittsburgh. In Cincinnati, they think they have a corner on Catholicism in Cincinnati. No, Pittsburgh, same thing. In fact, all older Midwestern towns, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Boston, on and on and on. Just, you know, all of those towns. And Pittsburgh was a very, very Catholic town. I grew up in a very, very Catholic town. All my friends were Catholics. All of them. Where I played where I played after school, before school, and summers was at a Catholic church. It was right beside our house, three levels of a parking lot, field, and everything. So I was playing there all the time. I broke my arm twice in that parking lot. One time because I came down a grass hill and slammed into the concrete. Other time because I was taking my 10 speed and trying to go no hands, and I messed up and I snapped my same arm in the same place. It was in that very place in a Catholic parking lot that I got this little finger you might have noticed before. You know, I know you love when I kind of mess around my finger. That happens. I broke it in that Catholic parking lot. I was a Catholic, but I felt like I was part of the whole thing. I remember I would go inside because I had to go to the restroom, and one of the fathers would be in there, and I just knew there was places in there I couldn't go. I didn't know if it was because I was a kid. I don't know if it was because I wasn't officially Catholic. I don't know what it was, but there's places I just couldn't touch. I couldn't go because they were consecrated or consecrated. My baggage around the word consecrated has kept me for a long time to really understand the spiritual potency behind that word. And the spiritual potency behind that thing happening to you. Consecration is when something is set aside for the purposes of God. Where something is set aside and you go, okay, this thing here, it's no longer going to be normal, run of the road, I'm going the same direction, or it's going to be set aside. So this church where I would go, it was maybe this bowl is consecrated, or this thing is. These things were consecrated. They were set aside, different, special. Now, in the New Testament part of the Bible, we don't see, which is where Jesus was, we don't see any inanimate objects being consecrated. In the Old Testament part of the Bible, we see inanimate objects being consecrated. I'm not saying we shouldn't consecrate, or however you consecrate an inanimate object. I'm just saying that the highest level of consecration isn't an inanimate object that's set aside. It's an animate person. It's you. It's me. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 7, it says this, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." Consecrate yourself. See, the truth is, all of us are consecrated to something. We're consecrated to whatever you're obsessed with. Whatever you're obsessed with, that's what you're set apart towards. Whether you've intentionally decided to do it or not, you're set apart to that. Some of us are consecrated to a 32-inch waist. It's like everything, man. No, I'm not going to do another belt loop. Nope, not going to happen. No. Some of us are consecrated to whatever. All of us have something. You might not know it, but that whatever you're obsessed with, that's the thing you're set apart to, whatever your primary top obsession is. The Bible tells us you and I should make an intentional choice to consecrate ourselves to God. Because God is holy. Holy means God is distinct. He's different. That's what it means to be holy. It doesn't necessarily just mean morally pure. It means set apart. God is distinct. He's perfect. He's unusual. He's in a category all of himself. That's what God is. And if we want to be like God, then we'll make a similar choice, or we'll do a similar thing. We will consecrate ourselves, meaning we will set ourselves aside, apart, to be different, on a different plane, in a different category, not being normal. Other times in the Bible where we see the word consecration coming up is in the Old Testament. We see the people of God who are led by Charlton Heston, Moses, Moses, Charlton Heston, whatever it takes, led by Moses, they're bringing the nation of Israel out of slavery to the promised land, to a land where they are to dwell. Moses dies before they get into the promised land, and now they're about to go into the promised land. There's a border region there. It's the Jordan River, and they're about to go in, and Joshua, his successor, rallies all the troops, brings them all together, and here's what he says. Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself." Today, God still says that same thing to his people, whoever they may be, whoever you may be. God still says to you, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself aside. Be comfortable being different. Be comfortable being in a lane that other people don't want to be in, because when you're obsessed with God, when you're obsessed with his ways, you're consecrated. You're holy. You're distinct. You're set apart. And if you're obsessed with God, you'll embrace that. Now, there's a number of moments where some of us in here might have been consecrated before. There are key moments where you felt like, man, that was it. And there are a number of them. Next week, people are going to get baptized. Those of us who've made your decision to get baptized, not your parents make the decision for you, as good and as healthy as that could be. You don't make any decision there. Someone else chose that for you. You consecrate yourself. You make that decision. Some of us are going to do that next week. And when you did that, some of us did, you remember that? That was like that was a moment. Man, that was it. I set myself. Others of us remember when I knelt down and I said a prayer and I gave my life to Jesus. That moment, man, that was, gosh. I remember when I was in high school, one of my significant moments of consecration was going to a party and not drinking any longer underage and putting apple juice in my red Solo cup, "I Fill You Up." That was a moment of, it was consecration for me. Like, I'm choosing a different way of God. And there's a kind of consecration that will also only come through giving. The reason why giving is so difficult and so sensitive is because A, we don't want to be consecrated, or two, the process of consecration is a high one. It's a holy one. It's a difficult one. Just like being baptized in front of a bunch of people is. There's a kind of setting apart you make when you decide that I am going to obsess over God's kingdoms and my finances are going to show it. I expect my finances to look different than someone who's not consecrated with God. I expect myself to be different. And if I'm not gonna be different, then guess what? I'm not consecrated. I haven't set myself aside to see the wonders of God. As Joshua says, set yourself, come on, get ready, set yourself apart. Because you're going to see the wonders of God. Every person who's at a crossroads today, every person today, is you're here today because before you, someone consecrated themselves. Every single person, before you, someone consecrated themselves or you wouldn't be here. And if you've had any comfort, God's met you in any way at this small C church called Crossroads, if God has revealed himself to you in any way, if God has saved you in any way, if you've had any help, it's only come because someone before you consecrated themselves. When I came to Cincinnati, there was 11 people who consecrated themselves, and they said, we'll guarantee your salary for a year if you'll come and help start this church. We have to tap into home equity credit lines, retirement accounts, we'll guarantee your salary for a year. These 11 people, all 30-year-olds, we'll guarantee your salary for a year. They consecrated themselves unto God before I got here. Every single site you're in, before you were there, someone consecrated themselves so that you would be able to be touched by God. And I'll just start listing them off as best I can, south to north. Whether you are in Richmond, someone consecrated you. Probably somebody in Andover. And there in Andover, someone consecrated themselves before you got there. In Georgetown, someone consecrated themselves before you got there. In Florence, in Uptown, in Westside, in Eastside, in Mason, in, starting to lose my mind now, Oxford, where else? Dayton, in Columbus, and not only that, in these different places, I love in Columbus, especially, is so active, and some of our churches have started in prisons. Yes, in prison, you can actually go to Crossroads website, and you'll see they're equal churches with us, equal churches with us. In these, you go to our website, different sites, 18 different sites we have right now that are a part of this team that God has been amassing together, and God is saying, consecrate yourself, consecrate yourself. If you want to see the wonders of God, consecrate yourself. And we consecrate ourselves here because we want to see the wonders of God in greater in more powerful ways. Jesus said, greater things will you do. Jesus said that. Jesus said as follows, greater things will you do. He predicted that there would be churches that wouldn't just be on location, would be in multiple states. He saw that. He said, I'm not gonna do it in my lifetime, but greater things will you do. Consecrate yourself. He saw that people would be able to come out of prison and go and still be a part of their church as people are right now. I just heard two stories. Someone who's coming out of prison and going to Columbus, 10 minutes away from where our Crossroads Columbus site is, and also Georgetown. She said, no, that never happened. It's because someone before you and I consecrated themselves. And today, some more of us get to consecrate ourselves. If you choose that, you get to see the wonders of God. Now, consecration can be a difficult thing. That's why more people don't do it. More people don't set themselves apart from God. We'd rather stay middle of the road, do what everybody else is doing, spend our money the way everybody else is spending it, watch the same movies everybody else is watching, have the same disciplines everybody else is doing, have the same whatever, and therefore, you're not consecrated, you're just normal. Consecration is when you set yourself apart and say, I'm going the way of God. And that means I go a different place. And that means I get cheerful about things that other people don't get cheerful of, such as in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7, it says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, this means gives sparingly, will also reap sparingly. That means receive from God sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, that all means gives bountifully, will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided to give in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't love a fair share giver. God doesn't love a transactional giver. As that guy earlier on just was so vulnerable talking about, he was transactional. I have a good friend of mine who was telling me his story this last week. He said, yeah, you know, when I was coming to Crossroads, when I first started giving, it was all about what I was getting. He said, I figured I was really motivated and felt really good, and I left. I thought, man, this is like I just went to a Tony Robbins seminar. So he said, I just started giving what I would give if I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. I was like, okay. At least weren't giving like you did when you went to a Starbucks, I guess. I mean, because Tony Robbins is pretty expensive. I mean, I wasn't sure exactly how to categorize it. What was he saying? He was saying, before, when I was in previous development spiritually, I was transactional. Like, what am I getting out of this? This says to be a cheerful giver. Now, to be a cheerful giver when you're not consecrated, it always means be a cheap giver. Seriously, if you're not consecrated, cheerful giver is always cheap giver. That's why American generosity rates keep going down. Because if you're just normal, like, the way to get over in life is like give away as little as possible so you can take care of the most important thing, which is what? You. You. Being a cheerful giver doesn't mean initially, oh, I'm so excited to write a big check. It means as I step back and look at the holistic view of my life and what's happening, I am cheerful, man. This is good, good stuff. For me, when I give, I have similar patterns as to when I make a big purchase. I'm never cheerful when I make a big purchase. Never am. I'm always like, now after the fact, I'm like, man, God, I'm so glad I bought that 2011 pickup truck. I'm so glad I did. After the fact, I'm like, ooh, I hope I'm gonna get the place. Ooh, I'm so glad I moved. Not quite there right now. I'm a little stressed out. So eventually, because this is my pattern, I'll totally freak out when I've done this before in the past. And I eventually, like, oh man, I'm so cheerful. This is really good. This is the way it is with giving. There's this sort of awkward in-between thing. But when you're consecrated, you learn new disciplines to sort of power through to get to the cheer thing. Just like if you're consecrated unto marathon running, you power through the lactic acid stuff to get to the joy of running. This is the same way it is in the spiritual realm. You set yourself apart. You go a different way. I'm so thankful. That's why I'm so thankful for e-gift. Crossroads has an e-gift thing where you can have electronically deducted whatever amount you want to give, whatever you want to give. And I was reminded of that because of my journey groups. I'm not proud of my performance in my two journey groups. I've been two of them, and in both of them, we had that one exercise where we were supposed to abundantly bless somebody. And the whole group was supposed to just kind of shower amazing stuff on them. And just, it was... I read that in both groups. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be great. It's great. And I had all these plans. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I did do like one thing in both groups. But when I look at what I did, one thing in both groups, it was way, way beneath what I was expecting to give or do. Way, way beneath what I was wanting to do. And I'm kind of like that with giving. Like if I have to wrestle every single time with what I'm going to do, I need to like automate it just like I do my insurance, just like I do my mortgage, or else I'm not going to be cheerful at the end. When I get that giving statement from Compassion International or Crossroads or the other organizations I give to, I'm never cheerful. I'm like, really? Thought I did more than that. Okay. When you're consecrated, you figure out a way to actually be consecrated. I hear people regularly say things like, well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. How does God know our heart? When I say, God knows my heart, how do I know that God knows my heart? This sounds really oogie, but hang in with me on this. Well, first I'll tell you a story, and then I'll tell you the principle. Abraham was the original founder of the Jewish nation, and it was founded upon him having children, his very first child, Isaac. God is wondering, thinking, I think you're obsessed with your son more than me. That's what I think. I think you're obsessed with your son more than me. God says, I want you to take him up to the top of the mountain there. I want you to kill your son. They're like, ooh. So he takes Isaac, starts going up the mountain, takes out his knife. And just before he's doing it, God says, oh, stop, 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 stop. Ho, whoa, 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 ho. Stop there right there. And God says this. No, here's exactly what God says. Genesis 22:12. Now I know that you fear God. How did God know Abraham's heart? Because of what he was going to do, what he did. We think, well, God knows my heart because I'm an emotional person. I cry easily. He knows my heart. God knows my heart. God knows my heart because of the God. You know, the way God knows your heart is what you do. That's how he knows your heart. He knows your heart, if I could be direct and just on target with what we're doing. He knows your heart if you tithe. He knows your heart if you don't get pissy when money's talked about at church. He knows your heart based on whether you cling to God more tightly or you cling to his money that he gave you more tightly. God knows our heart, and the way he knows it is by what you do. Now, I can't be more clear than this in saying your actions will never get you to heaven. Your actions don't get you to heaven. Your actions don't earn God's love. No, they don't. No. Your actions don't get you. Your actions do not cause God to love you. No, your actions just tell God whether you love him. Your actions just tell God whether you're consecrated and whether you're somebody who says to God, God, use me. I want more. I want more of you in my life. I want more of your wonders in my life. Consecrated people are those who see the wonders of God. I got this email this last week, and it just hits me hard. I'm just going to read it to you. You're going to think it's unbelievable, but this is a Man Camp alum. He's been around here for a while, and he just sent me this email, and it's a bit lengthy email, but I think I think it would do all of our hearts some good. Here's what he says. You know, there was a time in my life where I simultaneously had nothing and everything, and ever since I've been trying to get back to that place. I grew up in an upper middle class in Westchester, that's a suburb outside of Cincinnati, and never really wanted for anything. That changed, however, when I struck out on my own and went to college. Don't know if you realize it or not, but food insecurity is a huge issue with college students. When confronted with the decision between heat and food, I would choose heat. When choosing between food and reliable transportation to get me back and forth from school, food would lose. I learned which bills to prioritize and tested how long I could delay paying them. So that was the way things went, and it got bad. I would go days without eating. My body ate itself to survive. I lost all kinds of weight. I would collect pennies out of my couch to put together enough money to buy a 99-cent burger from Wendy's, and I would cut that in half to make two meals. I researched what Crossroads and other organizations sent to third world countries in an effort to identify the cheapest and most basic of sustenance I needed. It got so bad that I resorted to eating people's leftovers at the restaurant I worked at. If your kid didn't finish their grilled cheese, I would. If you left some fries, I'd eat them. It was humbling, but it silenced the hunger. My faith at this time was stronger than it has ever been. I had been baptized at Crossroads, and I was on fire. I was leading the weekend experience for CSM at our student ministry at Crossroads Oakley, and I was the primary onstage teacher. But no one knew how much I was struggling. I didn't want to bother them with my challenges. One of the things I missed from that time is my wholehearted obedience to God. I had nothing financially, but I had everything spiritually. I had faith where I would run towards hellfire with a bucket, and then God tested it. He said, I want you to tithe. My response was like that of a child trusting a parent. I said, well, God, I don't know how you're going to deliver on your promise to provide for me with how much I'm struggling now, but it'll be fun to watch. I tithed on the tips I was making as a server. I tested him and he delivered. Early on when I was tithing, I had gone a couple days without eating. I was talking to God one day and I said, Lord, I trust you to provide for me, but I really would like to eat. I don't know how you would do it, but can you give me $20? I could eat for days on $20. It was a Sunday, so I walked into CSM. No one in CSM knew how much I was struggling. I saw my best friend, Andy. We greeted each other and talked for a second. And at one point, he said, so how are things going? I felt a nudge. Tell him. So I said, well, I'm pretty hungry. I haven't eaten in a few days. Andy handed me a 20 and said,
Andy handed me a toy and said, God told me that I needed to stop at the ATM on the way here and grab $20 because someone would need it. I didn't know it would be you. God had shown up and provided because two of his children were obedient. I get emotional because all of us who've consecrated ourselves have stories like this. I fortunately have never had to deal with this hunger, but when you're consecrated, it touches you deep. These are consecrated people. I'll wrap this up. But I continued to tithe, and I watched God provide. Folks would offer meals out of the blue or would offer to take me out to lunch. I would be offered food from events at Crossroads. One of the funniest things was that I was invited to a meeting with you, Brian. It was a vision casting sort of meeting, and my understanding was that the people were identified as some of the reliable givers in the community. Yes, the top givers, actually. So I was sitting in a room full of dedicated givers, hearing about the vision for Crossroads as a 25-year-old college kid without a pot to piss in. Yeah, it doesn't take much to be a top giver at Crossroads. For some reason, it was easier to tithe then. My faith was less encumbered by fear and control. And as I got married, I had children and bought a house, I struggled to trust God because I'm not trusting him with myself. I'm working hard to find my way again. I know what Jesus means by faith like a child. Imagine if we were obsessed enough to be fearlessly obedient. What a world we would create. Proverbs 16:9, yeah. Proverbs 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole land to give strong support to those whose heart is fully theirs, fully his. It's a sham. It's a scam. It's an awful thing when people promise that if you give that you're immediately going to get money. That's an awful thing. You do oftentimes. We all have our stories, those of us who are consecrated. But the blessing comes in a bunch of other things beyond that, perhaps. Full heart, clean conscience, relations maybe. I don't know what it is, but God uniquely meets us here. And today is about getting more people who are on our team of consecrated people Crossroads. Not people who attend Crossroads, but people who are in at Crossroads. People who join the consecrated team, who set themselves aside. Those of us who are in at Crossroads, I have a... I do a locker room thing every Wednesday. It's invitation only, where we do this deal. I just give latest updates and try to offer some encouragement. And it's really a fun thing. And every time I do, I go, gosh, I think, man, there should be more people getting this stuff, but there's just not more people in. I would love you to be in and be in the locker room. I would. I'd love you not just to be in a locker room and get an invitation only thing that happens on Wednesdays. I'd also love for you to get a uniform, which is what I'm wearing today. I would love for you to get a uniform that says to yourself and anybody else that I'm in, that this is my small C church, and I'm in, and my giving shows that I'm in, and I'm in. We have these shirts here that we commissioned our partner Freeset in India to make. This is a partner that works with girls that we've helped rescue and others as well and brings them in and gives them employment. We employed 30 girls for 4 months hand-making all of these T-shirts. And they only go to people who have helped them, and that is people who are in a Crossroads. And so today, we're going to have the opportunity to be able to be in. I'm just going to let you pull this card out. I don't want you to do anything with it. You're gonna use this card, just be comfortable with it. You know, just kind of don't get too nervous, just to have a whew. Okay, I know your heartbeat's going up okay. I just wanted to, like, just touch it. It's not gonna bite you. Ow. Just kind of hold that thing. And I'm gonna talk about this in a moment. Before we do, let's just remember what happens when we give ourselves to God. When you consecrate yourselves, you've given yourself to God. When we give ourselves to God, we give ourselves to God out of obsession. Beautiful, wonderful things happen.
One, two. I am all my intent. I'm not entitled. Still you call me your child. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me, oh how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. I've had plans shattered and broken, things I evoked in fall through my head. You have planned to redeem and restore me. You're behind and before me. Help me move. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. You are. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. I give you control. Oh, I give you control. I give you control. I give you control. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
That is amazing what can happen when people give themselves to God and His work. If you're in a crossroads, you need to understand, you will never have to wonder whether or not your life is making a difference. You will never have to wonder whether or not you're making an impact. You'll never have to know. Wonder, is anybody else in the world thankful for me in this world and what I'm doing? Man, you're making things happen because of the small C church crossroads you're part of. Great. Now, all of us who are part of Crossroads all over the country, you can go to, in your app, the very last level of your app, or crossroads.net/commitment, crossroads.net/commitment, to make a commitment to put in a financial amount that shows God your level of consecration and gives you the joy and the ability to be cheerful over what God wants to do in and through you. Before we do it, let me just say there's three kinds of people who are with me right now, three kinds of people. First, there's some of us who have been a part of Crossroads, and we've never made an I'm in commitment for whatever reason. We weren't here when it happened, or we weren't ready back when, or whatever. And right now, when you do that work, This is going to be incremental above and beyond what you regularly give for the next 2 years. We're all thankful for what you're giving right now, but it's incremental above and beyond that to help us do things that God is asking us to do. Maybe you're going to go from 3% to 5%. Maybe you're going to go 3% to 10%. Maybe you're going to go 20%. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to tell us that incremental amount if you've never made an I'm In commitment. Others of us have made an I'm In commitment, and we're not looking for us to make more of a commitment. If you want to, that's fine, but that's not what we have designed this for. You're going to have the ability to have just a two-year giving plan, which you should always have. Anything that you're obsessed about, you have a plan about, and this is a two-year giving plan, and you'll be able to do tell us one or two things, not both, one or two, whatever that amount is for those 2 years, or what percentage of your income is. And then the third group of people is you're with us today, but you really have another home church. And great, that's sweet. Glad you do. But you can still have a moment of consecration today. You can fill that stuff out. And we're not going to tell your church what it is because we don't know who they are. But if it's a moment of consecration for you, you can do that right now. So let's just take a moment and reflect before we fill in the bottom half of the equation, which is the actual numbers.
God, you don't need me, somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. I've had plans shattered and broken, things I've hoped in fall through my head. You have plans to redeem and restore me. You're behind and before me. Help me believe. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me, somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. You want me, somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world is lost. Stars were made to worship, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the song of all our praises still falls shy, frees me to open my hands up and give you control. God, you know me, somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, somehow that frees me.
Way to go. That's fantastic. I hope that you're feeling a bit of pleasure over setting yourself apart and being consecrated. Now, we want to make sure that you get your t-shirt because you're in. So if you live to a crossroad, close to a crossroad site, you can drive there and get your jersey. Pick up your t-shirt. If you don't, if you're in Denver, you're in Seattle, if you're wherever, then follow the instructions on your screen so that we can actually get your uniform to you. Hey, thanks for being part of this journey. Thanks for being just a part of the team. And it's an honor to be in ministry with you. Let's pray. God, thank you for the moment we just had. And we thank you for the ways that you have given and blessed us. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.